Hello and welcome to The Big Fight. And today it really is an ultimate show on the environment and what you can do to safeguard the environment and your own health as well. Because today, two separate themes that we're going to take, which do coincide at some point or the other. One, the entire discussions that are taking place in Paris right now to try and save the planet. What happens with climate change? Who can do something about it? And of course, that eternal question, who's to blame for the mess that we are in right now? And then a slightly related question is, what do we need to do for our own sake? We've just seen some radical measures being announced in Delhi, one of the most polluted cities in the world, where, you know, odd and even and all of those sort of things. So is that what we're going to be also resorting to? So lots to talk about, and I can tell you we've been able to assemble perhaps one of the ultimate environment panels that you can possibly have. Prakash Jawdekar is going to be joining us in just a couple of minutes, the Minister of State for Environment, Forest and Climate. But right here in the studio, Sunita Narayan, Director, Center for Science and Environment, and MC Mehta, lawyer and petitioner against vehicular pollution. It's great to have you with us as well. And on a slight historical note, the very first story I ever worked on in my entire life as a TV reporter was to come and interview him for a program on traffic and pollution in Delhi. So, you know, things sometimes stay the same. So thanks a lot for joining us. NDTV's own Swati Thyagarajan, editor environment and here at NDTV. It would be great to get your point of view. Dr. Vivek Nangia, director of pulmonology at the Fortis Hospital at Vasant Kunj, is going to tell us just what is happening to our lungs, if you really do want to know. Gardner Harris is about to join us from Washington. His piece on it, the fact that it is almost unethical to bring up children in Delhi, really did spark off some sound and fury a short while back. Ashish Khaitan is joining us as well, spokesperson Aam Aadmi Party, on why the Delhi government has done whatever it has. But let's just start off by taking a look at the debate around climate change and what's happening in Paris. So I do want to go across to Paris, where we do have Nupur is with us, who's been covering it there for a while. And she does have with her Meena Raman from the Third World Network, Jiafeng, who's a special representative, climate change negotiations at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs from China. And Jake Schmidt is with us as well, Director, International Program, National Resources Defense Council. So, Nupur, lots of battling back and forth there on what can be done to save the climate. Are we going to get anywhere at Paris, or is that looking unlikely?
We are halfway through. 1 week of work has been done, a lot of closed-door sessions. What we have been hearing is that it's been very, very tense. And whether or not we will actually get an agreement, that of course has been the big question. But where we are at now is also a big question, because all this work that has gone in, the question that's being asked now is whether the developed countries have actually put in constructive work, or are they delaying everything?
I don't see any constructive movement really from the developed world. I think positions are still very far apart. They're very polarized. I think a major debate is really whether common but differentiated responsibility, historical responsibility, for instance, whether developed countries will show the lead, whether they are here really intend to be true to the convention, or whether they are trying to create a new regime which will weaken the obligations for them.
Create a new regime, Jake, what would you say to that?
Yeah, well, you know, hopefully we can get an agreement. I think the challenge is in front of us this next week as we try to solve this. The consequences of not getting an agreement are too large. Obviously, we need a good agreement, not just an agreement. But the challenges are pretty big. We have to have developed countries come forward with, I think, clear signals on climate finance. And we have to find the right way to bring forward these kinds of commitments that countries have brought forward over the past year, where we have countries that account for more than 90% of the world's emissions have taken steps for what they're going to bring forward.
And if you're talking about commitments, is the developed world actually coming forward and committing to especially the climate finance commitments for countries like the US?
Yes, it is a commitment under the convention. And it is also a commitment also reached under Copenhagen Accord.
But here your position is very comfortable.
Yeah.
But are you seeing, because you know, last year in November, the US and China also made a joint sort of, you know, that you came together and you made pledges. But are things moving fast enough over here? Maybe Meena would probably disagree with Jake as far as I'm concerned, but since you are in a more neutral situation, do you think India can rely on China to push hard enough? Because you don't have much at stake here, is what I was saying.
We have a lot of stake here also. Yes, I think all countries, particularly developing countries, would have a lot of stake here.
Right.
I think the whole world have a lot of stake here.
Okay. Right.
Yeah. But Jake, the entire question of, who is going to be, and I think there is some painting of people as villains right now, isn't it a bit strange that you have a country like India, which may in absolute numbers be emitting a certain amount, but in terms of per capita emissions is one of the lowest among all major countries. So surely the responsibilities then have to be slightly different for countries like that. Surely every individual human being should have be entitled to a certain amount of carbon, an equal amount of carbon.
You know, I would disagree that India is being characterized as villain. Well, I think India is being perceived as being a blocker, but I don't think that's actually true. I think that what we're finding is that countries are trying to find the sweet spot, and I think there's always some misunderstanding on that. You know, India brought forward the Global Solar Alliance, which is a huge new initiative. They showed that they're going to be a leader on trying to help solar, and I think that's a key piece of the puzzle.
No, I disagree, because I do think that if you look at the mainstream media from the West, they are painting India as a blocker. And they are showing that countries who stand up for common but differentiated responsibility, countries who insist on equity, India is a very strong proponent of climate justice and equity. And I do think there is a media spin that's going on. And that, okay. I think, we see in the halls.
Right, let me get Sunita in before I come back to you there.
You
Sunita,
see,
you have a view on this?
There is an attempt. Whether it's obvious or not, there is an attempt to rewrite the rules.
As far as climate change is concerned, be very clear. There is a very clear, concerted move to move the burden from countries like the US to countries like India. Okay, we are the lowest on per capita terms. Our coal use, yes, is going to grow, but in terms of per capita, it's still 5 times lower than the US. And the US is today moving from coal to gas, which is also a fossil fuel. What appalls me is the silence of American NGOs to take up these hard issues with their government. Our Prime Minister talked about the carbon budget. There is about 1,000 gigatons of space that is left. The United States has already taken up 21%, will take up another 10%. And the American NGOs are, and the American media, in my view, is absolutely letting down
the
world.
So, Swati, then I'm going to come back to Jake and get a view from there.
As the Prime Minister said, the commitment to cutting emissions has to be commensurate with the space any country takes up in the whole carbon budget. And I think with countries like the United States and the EU at a level as well, although they have made better strides, I would say, in terms of clean energy as opposed to the United States, not in terms of they've made great strides.
Right.
So there is a problem. But I would like to say that one of the other problems is it's very easy to point fingers at countries like India, because a lot of how they're cleaning up is because we are manufacturing. So it's a lot of like they're sending their stuff across and we're growing, we're manufacturing, and it's easier for them to clean up on that.
China also is a severe problem, because remember the agreement that the Chinese and the Americans have signed is essentially about equity, in a way that the Chinese will increase their emissions, the Americans will reduce it, but they will both bring their emissions on a per capita terms to about 13 tons per capita. India is 2 tons per capita. So please understand, China has actually made a deal in its interest with the Americans to apportion the global atmospheric space so that the two polluters get an equal share. Now, that's disastrous for the entire world.
All right, Jake, if China and the US are both entitled to 13, on a per capita basis, why is India a villain at 1.7? And if India also gets to 13, then the entire planet is likely to face a catastrophic collapse.
U.S. needs to do more, clearly. We work in China as well, and I think there's an opportunity for China to strengthen its efforts over time. I think India is being perceived as a villain in the Western media in particular, but, I think there's a chance to actually change the tune by what comes forward in the rest of this time period, because India's got massive solar efforts underway in the country. It's got a target that it plans to bring forward. It's not sitting on the sideline, but there is always this, I think, perception that, you know, it makes it easy to have a good guy and a bad guy in Western media perceptions. And, for years and years, the U.S. rightly was the bad guy, and I think that's a key challenge.
I think there's a deliberate effort here to pinpoint that those countries who say that the principles of the convention and that this framework convention, which is really an important one for developing countries and developed countries, they have to be followed. Now that, I think, is being perceived as those who stand for that as being villains. So it's not just India, it's the like-minded developing countries as well. This agreement is about to be crashed, and that's the agenda that we have seen. So when you have developing countries saying no, it's not mitigation alone. It's everybody have to do the work, but the developed countries must acknowledge their historical responsibility. And there is this recognition that the developed countries gained their wealth in an unconstrained carbon emission world.
Right.
Today, there is a limited carbon budget, and that has to be distributed fairly. But no, the United States will not have any distribution of any budget because you have a nationally determined process. That multilateral process cannot tell the United States what it needs to do.
I think here in Paris, our job is to find really a solution to all of this. And we have only a week. Next week, our ministers would be here in multilateral diplomacy. I think the final touch would be a kind of agreement that might not be satisfactory to everyone.
Nina, do you think we will have an agreement firstly, and will it be satisfactory to anyone, especially the developing countries?
No, if the agreement is about enhancing what's in the convention, we will have an agreement. If it's an agreement to rewrite the rules and pass the responsibility to developing
countries,
which
is what we've been saying,
there will be no
deal.
Couldn't you possibly have a solution around, we've always been talking about differentiated but common responsibilities for a while. So, yes, everyone should have a fair share of whatever the carbon budget is. That's principle number one. And principle number two, it's in everybody's interest to allow the developing world has to develop, whether it's India, whether it's Africa, they have to be allowed to develop. And it's in everyone's interest to try and do that in as carbon-friendly a manner as possible. So, frankly, what the West should be doing is paying a certain amount of money to enable these countries to develop well. And number two, to transfer technology to make sure that India or Africa or the rest of the countries in the developing world actually do get renewable and other technology.
Developed countries have reneged on that commitment of money and technology.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, we would not be in Paris today
and
squabbling.
But is this the right solution?
No, but Vikram, how can it be a solution when they reneged on the deal?
Yeah.
In Copenhagen it came, in Cancun it came up, it came up in Copenhagen, it came up in Durban. Now we're sitting on this entire debate
Vikram,
again in Paris.
I think, if the Indian government was to raise a bill for Chennai and all the other natural disasters that we are beginning to see and link them to climate change as there is, and raise a bill to the international community now and stop asking for money as charity, but ask for it for damages and for the loss that we are suffering. Maybe that's the way ahead.
Mr. Javarikar is joining us, the Minister of State Independent Charge for Environment, Forests and Climate Change. We are seeing to some extent India's again being vilified to some extent, and India is blocking progress. Is it also because we're not being able to get the message across correctly? And our message really should be that actually India is one of the lowest emitters, and not what we sometimes tend to say, India won't be pushed around. That's bad PR. Should we be talking more about the fact that actually, we are one of the lowest per capita emitters?
It is not only low per capita. It is low in absolute terms also. Let me tell you, many people describe India as the third largest emitter. It is sequentially wrong, and it is content-wise also wrong. So I have rephrased it. Sequentially, we are number four, but we are small emitters. Because what is the current emission status? China 29%, US second 16%, Europe third 10%, and India fourth 5%. First three put together are 56%, and we are 5%. We are 1/10 of first three. People are saying India using coal and it will use more coal. but our coal consumption is less than one half of that of US in absolute terms even today. And they are using gas, which is also fossil fuel.
Okay.
Our non-fossil fuel is 40% target. They are only 30% target.
When you're flying there, what essentially, I mean, look, it is in India's interest also to get a deal done. So what essentially is the message that you're going to be taking, that look, India is happy to do its part, India is ready to try and cut its emissions, maybe not an absolute cap on emissions because that's difficult for us to do, but we will try and do whatever we can. Why don't you help us by A, transfer of money, and B, transfer of technology? Is that what you're going to be telling people there?
It is more than that. It is little more, because we are saying that, see, though India is not part of the problem, it wants to be part of solution, because we are suffering. If we are Chennai, Uttarakhand and Jammu Kashmir and droughts and spell of floods all over, it means there is a climate change impact also. But there is one dichotomy. If you go with the case of Chennai for loss and damage, the developed world says, oh, it's not a conclusive case of climate change. India is going more proactively with more positivity and more, instead of opposing, which was earlier position of India, we are now proposing. Like India initiated Solar Alliance. India became partner of Mission Innovation. We will be proposing many new things. They are on cards.
So what to your mind is a sort of a deal that you would be happy with and which you think might be able to sell to everyone else?
I will be happy if the deal is under the convention, with CBDR, equity and all other principles made intact, simultaneously making progress, that every country contributes as per their respective capacities, they report and they implement it.
Will you also have the PR in mind that you don't want India to be painted as a country that destroyed the world, however untrue it is? See, because you're seeing a lot of that in the Western media, by the way.
But Western media, unfortunately, is not free media like India. And I'm proud of Indian media. But unfortunately, foreign media, as you know, I think Sunita is on the panel now.
Yes, Sunita is here. She's listening to you.
She presented a very wonderful report on the consumption of two worlds. And what happened? Because it has some exposing America's unpleasant truth, inconvenient truth. The inconvenient truth presented by Al Gore were appreciated by all world. But now inconvenient truth about America, the foreign press is not ready to even listen, not ready to acknowledge. So that's a different media. People understand it. See, negotiations don't happen through newspaper or TV channels' headlines.
We've just seen what's happened in Delhi, for example, the levels of air pollution and the radical measures that have just been taken in Delhi. What is your reaction to what the Delhi government has done?
No, every government has to act, because we have asked all agencies to do more and more. Here we have asked Punjab government, Haryana government, Delhi government, Uttar Pradesh government, Rajasthan government, all the 15 corporations within the Delhi airshed area, and all the three corporations, plus all the NDMC and DDA and other agencies, police as well. So every agency has to do more and more so that we clean up act as early as possible. Though it's a backlog of 10 years, we have to clear in 2 years.
So you welcome what's happened in Delhi?
In a way, yes, everybody has to try more so that, but they should not then go back and forth. Okay. Otherwise, the credibility of action goes.
All right, Mr. Javrekar, thank you so much, sir, for joining us.
Thank you.
We wish you all the best in Paris. Let's hope we do come up with a really good deal out there. All right, Nupur, just want to say thank you to you. And any final comments that anybody may have?
One last short comment before we go.
We're going on the basis of enhancing the contributions of everyone according to what's provided in the convention, and we're not about to ditch the convention, then we will have an outcome. But if we are only shifting a lot of responsibility and not taking responsibility by the developed world, then you will have an unfair outcome, and I'm not sure whether the developing countries will stand up for that.
Well, I think the minister's right that these are not negotiated in the press. These are negotiated in rooms, and I think it's really critical that world leaders come together over the course of the next week and try to solve this, because the consequences of not acting on climate change are too large to the United States, they're too large to China, they're too large to India, they're too large to the small island states, to the least developed country. And, you know, we have a moral obligation to deal with this challenge, which means that the United States and other developed countries have to lead in this effort. But we also need to have a global effort that solves this problem. And we have to do it right. And I suspect that India will get an agreement that doesn't cross its red lines.
Also, Vikram, one last comment also from Mr. Gaopeng. India and China on the same platform in a multilateral forum. That's very rare, Vikram. So
yes, yes. For climate, in the climate change context, it has been 25 years since China and India have worked together all the way down to here, to Paris. And I think in a climate change context, China and India would always work together. Not only with regard to climate change, but also on a lot of other issues. Issues relating to sustainable development and a lot of other things.
So that's a positive note there, Vikram, from Paris, even though
right.
As far as the agreement and the text itself goes, it's still really a big fight.
All right, Nupur, thank you so much. And I'd like to thank Mr. Gaofeng and Jake as well for being with us and Meena as well.
Taking everything else out, the commitments made right now, and as ambitious as India's commitments are, and way better than a lot of other countries, but just in total what the commitments have been made, we're not going to see the under 2 degrees that we're hoping for, frankly. And
unless dramatic technology comes, which might well
very,
be the
very
solution.
Dramatic technology,
you could have
the $100 billion
that is coming,
money.
You could have solar that is going to transform.
Vikram, there can be a lot of technology that comes, but if the Western world is still stuck up with intellectual property rights, we're not going to see any of that. And if we're going to have to start leaping that gap, we're looking at $2.5 trillion, just India alone, in trying to make that leap and gap. How do you monitor whatever promises have been made? How do you make sure that countries meet these promises?
All right, Gardner Harris now joining us from the New York Times. Just first of all, your take on what was just said about the Western media perhaps not being entirely fair to the developing countries and to India in particular when it comes to climate change. How would you respond to that?
In the Times, anyway, we've been writing consistently about the difficulties that the developing countries will face going forward. I mean, I did a big series on Bangladesh. We just had one on the Marshall Islands. I mean, we've been talking a lot about this. But I think what concerns the Western media, and I think it's appropriate, is, you know, India has decades and decades and decades of history of deep-sixing multilateral agreements because India doesn't get exactly what it wants. And the worry here is that, again, India will not get exactly what it wants and bring the entire sort of infrastructure down.
Right,
now,
Sunita,
I think we're going to Sunita
wants to comment on that.
You know, Sunita consistently has an anti-American message.
Amazing,
I was on panels
Gardner.
With her.
Amazing, Gardner.
And
Gardner,
you have to have a commercial break every
Gardner,
2 minutes saying that it's all the Americans' fault.
It's wonderful. I think it's a wonderful victimhood that you are adopting. The fact is that when you left India, you promised that you will take up the issue of climate change because that's something that you care about a lot. I wrote to you with a copy of our report, Capitan America, where we showed you that the American action plan on climate change is just business as usual, that they are not making any significant change because the consumption levels in the U.S. are increasing because, you know, you don't have to make that face for us, because what amazes me, and this is what I would like to ask Vikram, why do you give such importance to people like Gardner who don't give us importance in their media?
But
when we wrote to them about the American position, not a single Gardner did not even acknowledge it. Because
right.
for them, it's anti-American. If he says something about India, I don't say to him he's anti-Indian. It's a question about American media being absolutely undemocratic and blind.
I'm about to get
and
back
I
to
don't see why you give them space. Why should he make it to our media when we can't make it to their media?
Okay,
you should have.
Our media is fairer
you
than fine.
Should have an agreement
I
with them
a
that if he
other
comes
than
on
ISIS.
To us, then New York Times
maybe
gives
even
us
ISIS
space.
If they were to come.
They
okay.
are extremely All right. racist.
Sarita, we heard you. Gardner, you want to respond?
I mean, I think it demonstrates what it is, which is Sunita has been consistently sort of against the United States. I mean, I think right now President Obama has met with Modi 7 times since Modi's election. He has not showered that attention on any other leader. The United States is deeply concerned and focused exactly on India's concerns because, let's be clear, you know, we have been inviting you to the global carbon party for 7 decades.
We are inviting
you. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay?
We've been trying to get you to develop forever because it is in the interests
of
the United States for India
to
develop.
Another 10.
Because
the fact
we want
more cars,
you to serve as a check on China.
Cars, they're doing everything to destroy the planet.
You're suggesting that this is somehow
a
our fault
media
that you have not
NDTV
developed.
NDTV is not so powerful. You cannot get your voice across
why
to
is it
the
not
American
possible?
Public.
Wait a minute.
They can
wait
get
minute,
their
wait
voice
minute,
across
wait
to
wait
the Indian public. That's
because
the problem.
We're giving,
that's the problem.
Because we should be blacking out contrary
you
views.
You can't get your voice to the American public.
Actually, Gardner's published my voice in the New York Times a number of times. He has, actually, on a
well,
matter
you
of
probably
point.
Wrote something which because, was in favor of them.
No, I was arguing with him on Kashmir.
Because
he
the
published
only thing,
it.
That's the only thing they do.
I have to say, you know, it's all very well for Mr. Harris to say that we've been deep-sixing the agreement. The U.S. never ratified the Kyoto Protocol.
Exactly.
We have never heard about that. No one even refers to that bit of history. Before Mr. Obama left for Paris, he grandly promised a $51 million contribution to the climate fund. Immediately, in the local press, the GOP very clearly said that he should be focusing more on terrorism, not on climate change, which isn't
a
problem. And they will not, unless they agree to whatever deal that comes out of Paris, and the Congress agrees, they're not going to give that money. You have the GOP on a regular basis, like Mr. Donald Trump on Fox, you know, last night saying, it gets a little cool sometimes, a little hot, climate change is a sham. So I'm sorry, I agree that we need to have a balanced view. Maybe Mr. Harris has his own point of view, and Sunita has her point of view. But I think the U.S.
Heard you too.
The U.S.
Gardner,
is just
Gardner, is there no, there's no guarantee that the U.S. is going to the
and
U.S. doesn't necessarily accept multilateral agreements
Gardner
either.
Was a journalist.
No, I mean, I think she is exactly
Harris,
right. Look, we
Mr.
have
Gardner,
difficult politics in the United
Sunita,
States as well.
Let him answer. Sunita, let him answer.
Just a moment. We have difficult politics.
We
have difficult politics
have
in the United States.
Report,
there is no.
You would have criticized.
All right, Sunita,
it,
please. Sunita, let him answer. Okay.
Sunita, just because we don't put you in the New York Times every day doesn't mean that we're biased against you.
Oh, you're completely
biased.
You're the United States. Mouthpiece.
The United States.
You are
has
an American.
Sunita, please let him answer now. Sunita, we've heard you. All right, Gardner, speak.
I mean, there is no doubt that the politics in the United States are very difficult about this. As the previous speaker said, the Republican Party is denying entirely many of its people that there is any such thing as climate change. And that's why, you know, obviously the Democratic Party is deeply into this issue. If you look at the polling, Democrats are something like 80 to 90% on feeling that a climate agreement is necessary. But what I find concerning in India is that there is sort of both this left-right consensus that somehow a climate agreement is a conspiracy against India. Even Sunita Narayan, one of the great environmentalists of India, is against an agreement.
She's about to explode.
She's about to explode.
Because it's seen as some sort of colonial
to read what
thing.
I write. Okay? Gardner, now please listen to me because it's the only time you're going to listen. You never read anything I write in any case. Let me make it very clear. We are very clear climate change is real. The threat is real. We want action taken and we want Indian government to act. But the American government action plan is meaningless.
Okay, fine.
And that's
can
what
I,
we want American journalists to
MC
write
Mehta.
About.
We have a problem out here. And Mr. Mehta, you've been writing about this all the way back since 1985. I think was the first time you filed a case. In 1985, yes. The first time you filed a case saying we need to do something about vehicular pollution. What do you make of what's happening right now and specifically what's happened in Delhi?
Almost every third person is sick. Almost. I'm saying Sunita may be knowing more, but it is so terrible that the children, if they can't, they don't have the right, they don't have to, they don't have voice. Because right now, when there is an emergency, they should have declared an emergency. And in this emergency, you know, that situation, you know, they should have closed down the institutions.
The emergency measure should go beyond what we've seen.
Yes,
because the shutting down of schools, the shutting down of offices.
Yes, that is
that
required.
Bad,
yes, yes. And because the reason was given, very good reason was given, because once you are in active, you know, whether it is a senior citizens and the children especially. So it affects a lot because on the health, because they are active and they are more, you know, vulnerable to such a serious pollution. So that is very serious, you know. The health cost, you know, when we talk about the health cost, the whole of Delhi, it looks as if a hospital.
Well,
you know,
so
much, you know, that problems are going on in this city.
Is it? Now, let me just get your sense and we'll ask the Delhi government as to why they've just done what they've taken. But it's not just Delhi, by the way. Delhi is the one which comes most in the headlines and perhaps the worst. But if you look at it, whether it's Lucknow, whether it's cities across Uttar Pradesh, you know, everywhere the situation is grim and is becoming grimmer. How bad is it really? Why don't you tell us just what is the impact of living, as these people do, in a city where it's sometimes 400 on the AQI. Actually, it's very often 400 on the AQI. What's the impact? What's it doing to us?
So it is causing a lot of harm to all of us, actually. Not only are people coming to us with common cold, cough, breathlessness, which they've never had ever in the past. You know, we have middle-aged people now coming with such similar complaints, but they've never had asthma ever in the past. So it's unlikely to be having a new onset asthma at their age. Second thing is the people who are already suffering with respiratory diseases, like asthma, COPDs, they are coming to us more often now as compared to previous years. So, you know, if you look at the global statistics, 1 in 8 deaths is caused because of the air pollution. In India, probably one death every hour is related to the air pollution.
In
it
Delhi.
Is that bad.
In Delhi.
It's 620,000 a year across
Delhi.
Yeah.
Delhi is
so
bad.
The figures from
Delhi
okay.
is bad. And I mean, I'm
and
glad.
It is not just the respiratory illnesses, but also cardiac illnesses. Huh. People could have sudden onset heart attacks. They could have brain strokes. They could have cancers. Children could have cancer as well. And even premature deaths.
Ashish Khaitan now joining us, spokesperson of the Aam Aadmi Party. Ashish, Delhi's taken some emergency measures now, pushed to some extent by what the courts have been saying. I guess a lot of people in Delhi will be wondering, shouldn't you have done this on your own and shouldn't you have done this a lot earlier? We have now gone through nearly a month of pretty bad conditions. I'm seeing you're out in the open. I can assure you it's bad for you.
Yes, exactly. So, there are some drastic measures that need to be taken to contain air pollution in Delhi, and you are absolutely right that the time to act is now. The road that will get paved for other long-term measures, I think, lies through some interim measures. So one of the global practices is of regulating the number of private vehicles on the roads, especially private diesel vehicles. So what we are planning to do is to regulate private diesel vehicles and private vehicles in general is by adopting the policy of allowing only vehicles with odd registration numbers to ply on one day and the other even vehicles to ply on alternate days.
Ashish, clearly emergency measures are called for, but these are not long-term solutions, obviously, because odd even people are going to get fake license plates, they're going to maybe buying second cars, you know, what if one person has two vehicles, both of which are even. There are issues with this. I'm assuming this is just being treated as an emergency measure while you find other solutions.
But these are some of the interim measures because of the severe air quality that is prevailing right now in Delhi. Even as we speak, Beijing twice this year alone has adopted this policy of regulating the number of vehicles by something similar to what we are going to do, which is an odd-even policy. And Beijing has been doing this since 2008. So this is not something unique. You are right. This is not a magic silver bullet. But in severe air quality conditions, these are standard global practices.
Do you think at some point you might also take other emergency measures like shutting down schools? Mr. M.C. Mehta was just saying you might have to at some point consider things like shutting down schools. Is that something which you may consider?
Well, I have been a votary of issuing advisories. We have now air quality index. There are some general advisories, but there are no specific advisories which other cities routinely issue, which also include shutting down schools, which also include scaling down commercial and industrial activity. My commission, the Delhi Dialogue Commission, which is kind of an advisory body for the government of Delhi, had actually advised the government. Right now, there is no consensus on that, but we are going to work on that. But yes, my personal view is that specific advisories should also be issued by the government, but that doesn't stop us from taking other actions in the meantime.
All right, Ashish. Sunita, do you agree with the steps that have been taken? Are more radical steps required?
No, I think what Ashish and our party have done right now have to be welcomed. The fact is we have an emergency situation right now, and all countries of the world, Beijing, Paris, in the time of a smog alert, they take steps which are emergency in nature. These are not substitutes for long-term action. Just 1 minute, Vivek, Vikram. When we pushed for CNG and we managed to bring in CNG across Delhi, we saw a reduction in air pollution. We need a similar long-term measure now to kick in, and the only thing that can happen is huge augmentation of public transport systems, not just for Delhi, but for the entire NCR, so that we can see this happen by next winter.
We just heard Mr. Javarikar welcoming what they've done. So it's a rare situation where there's unanimity across the board that something needs to be done.
We welcome it as well.
Mr. Mehta, any other suggestion that you might have for what you think they should do?
No, suggestion is like in Delhi, there are no cycle tracks even. Master plan was there, the people and the more and more people, Sunita was earlier once, I think she met an accident also because of that. Because there are no roads, there are no cycle tracks at all. There is no
emergency, that's building those cycle tracks.
But I'm talking about, because if that cycle tracks would have been there, then today you could have immediately taken off the from the road the vehicles also. There was a solution to that.
Right, Gardner Harris, let me get you back on this note, because you, Gardner, last year created quite a storm actually by what you wrote just after you left India, saying that you almost felt it was unethical to be bringing up children.
But he left.
But hang on, at the time he was...
But Vikram, he left.
Sunita.
The rest of us are here.
Yes, Sunita.
And the rest of us are choking and fighting.
But
he's not even fighting his own government on climate change.
You can object to my asking him the question, but I'm allowed to ask him the question.
Because I'm breathing Delhi's air today, and I'm fighting to get it clean.
So Gardner left, he said he didn't want to breathe Delhi's air anymore. Gardner, the question that I am asking you... So there was a bit of a storm that was created, and you wrote an article saying it's almost unethical to be bringing up children in Delhi given how bad the air is. Sunita does point out that not everyone has that option of just upping and going, but do you still hold that view that you know it's dangerous living in Delhi?
Well, first of all, I quoted Indian experts as saying that, and including your top air pollution expert, Dr. Gudakunga, who moved to Goa because he has the resources to do so. But you're exactly right that most people in Delhi do not have the resources. Now, I think it's hugely, it's wonderful that the Aam Aadmi Party is suddenly aware of this. Remember, it was a year ago that the Aam Aadmi put out its 70-point plan for Delhi, and in 70 points for what they were going to do to Delhi, they did not mention air pollution or smog once. And so less than a year later, suddenly the Aam Aadmi Party has found sort of religion on air pollution and is now starting to do something. So that transition over a year is extraordinary. So I think that what is happening now in India is, you know, there is this incredible moment, and whether it's being driven by the climate change negotiations or being driven by people finally realizing that the air in Delhi is extraordinarily toxic, it's a wonderful thing.
I'm sorry, Vikram.
All right, Gardner.
I'm going to give him this kind of space.
Okay, Gardner.
We fight in India. We get our issues out here. The American NGOs and American media can't even put climate change in their own media table. And Gardner Harris comes on to NDTV and is patronizing and says, maybe because we are talking about climate change in Paris, you have realized today that the air is polluted. And you are allowing him
I'm not
to
sure
say
that's what
that
he's saying,
and
Sunita,
not challenging him.
He is saying that, Vikram. Right. It's maybe Gandhi, not your debate, but definitely the debate that I know of. And I would think that you
Sunita,
should be very clear.
Let me give you credit that Sunita has...
You should let him say what he's saying, but let me comment on him.
Yeah, you are commented on him. You commented him in freely. Now, Gardner.
Look, what has happened, Vikram, and you know this because your own program has done this. You know, over the last year, NDTV has run countless stories on the air pollution. If you look at 2013, 2012, you almost never did those stories. The same is true. There are now air pollution reporters at the Times of India, at the Hindustan Times, at the Hindu. There simply was not air pollution reporters more than
a year ago. We'll give some credit to our teams, including Swati. I have to take a break. I'm going to take a break. When we come back, let's try and tie up all the threads, including... So look, we started off by talking about climate change and everything that's happening about here, and I've gone on to some of the immediate events that are taking place here in India, whether it's what happened in Chennai, which was absolutely shocking, or pollution in cities like Delhi. There is a lot that we've got to do ourselves. Let's get some of the audience in when we come back after this break. Welcome back to The Big Fight, and we've certainly been having some big fights, and in particular I'm looking at Sunita out here and Gardner, who's out there somewhere. Let me come back to all of you, and Swati, I'm going to kick off with you actually, because look, there is a situation that we're going to try and get a deal done in Paris, and hopefully it'll be a fair deal. But at the end of the day, for us also out here, and frankly we at NDTV have been doing stories on this now for what, 5 years, 6 years? We were doing Greenathons 5 years ago.
Not just climate change, but also on air pollution. We've been doing a lot of stories on air pollution. It's not like Mr. Even Harris said that we only did it in the last few years and he didn't hear about it earlier. He didn't hear about it. It didn't mean it didn't get done. We did a lot of stories. In fact, we tied up with CSE before the whole CNG thing happened. Yeah, we did a
Greenathon. We're going to put on some of these images. So these are images of smog in Delhi.
Yeah.
These are images of the floods that are taking place in Chennai. There are lots of serious issues that actually affect us. And it's strange that India may not be the country that has actually caused the problem of climate change,
but
it will certainly be one of the countries that will be the
victim.
So we've got to do something about it. And we've got to try and find a solution.
Yeah. No, absolutely, Vikram. Both the UN report and Standards & Poor, when they judged countries' ability to deal with climate change, India was marked as one of the most vulnerable. Records say that about 3 billion people have been affected between 1995 and 2015, just between India and China, and about 850 million in India from just extreme weather events. So, okay. I mean, we are really vulnerable to climate change, and I think that within our borders, do we have a moral obligation to do the right thing by our people? Of course.
Right.
But I think on an international platform, we have the absolute right to demand the common but differentiated responsibility.
Okay, so demand the right thing from them, but keep doing the right thing for our own sake. Right. Dr. Nangia, quick final thoughts from you.
You know, the problem is that there's not much that we as individuals can do about the environment. Of course, the Delhi government will be taking their due action. But how do we protect our health in the meantime is what is important. So, okay. Of course, as I said, you know, we should avoid moving out on days when the air quality index is really very poor.
Okay.
Especially the high-risk group. The high-risk group comprises the elders, the children, those suffering with diabetes, COPDs, asthmas, heart diseases, and pregnant ladies. So, this is the group which especially should take care of their health, especially on the very polluted days.
All right. Ashish Khetan, final thoughts from you.
What we have done today are just the first few steps. There is a long journey that we all have to travel and we have to traverse together. One, we have to augment the urban transport. We have to increase the number of buses. We have to improve the quality and efficiency of urban transport. That's one. We have to redesign all our roads. All our PWD roads, all our MCD roads need to be redesigned.
Okay.
The right to equity, which is pedestrians, cyclists, buses, they all have to be given priority over private vehicles.
All right.
So these are some of the steps that we need to take, and there is no other way, and there are no shortcuts. Vikram, there are no shortcuts. There cannot be any long-term gain without short-term pain.
Fine. Ashish, thanks for joining us. Mr. Mehta, let's just move it to a broader issue. The fight against pollution and the fight against climate change, as seen both from what's happening in Delhi, what's happening in Chennai, what's happening elsewhere. This is a battle that you think we need to keep on accelerating for our own sakes.
The other day I was reading, you know, this article of this Secretary General of UN. He said that climate change does not need passport. And he's right. Because here, you know, when any effect is going to take place on India or from India, whatever goes out, it is going to have effect everywhere. So the point is, the first is that when the climate change, the world may do or may not do whatever, but are we, you know, going to do that? Okay, we will not do anything. We will not plant trees. We will not. We will make highways.
What the right thing
cut
is,
trees,
whether it's shifting the solar, planting trees,
yes,
taking because we must do that for our own sake.
Yes.
Gardner Harris, final quick thought from you.
Well, I mean, I'm hoping that India does indeed continue to push for everything it can get out of these talks. But I'm also hoping that India joins eventually in this global agreement, because I think this is a terrific moment for India to get the world's buy-in for things that India really has to do for its own self.
All right. Sunita Narayan, final thoughts on the show from you.
You know, Vikram, what you see on climate change, you see on air pollution in Delhi. It's about a power. It's about inequity. It's about inequity at some level. When you talk about the United States media is powerful. They get away with doing very little. And as a result of it, the burden is moved to the developing world today in climate change. And that's what we are fighting. We want a fair deal. When it comes to air pollution, we also want a fair deal. The fact is, the people who drive in cars today, the people who drive diesel SUVs today, and the people who can run away and all can put air purifiers in their homes are the most responsible for air pollution in Delhi. We need solutions which are for all of us, which means air pollution has to be dealt with as something which brings good for Delhi in terms of public transport. You look at Chennai, it's clearly a lesson for India. We cannot ignore environmental issues anymore. This is in our interest. We should make them part of policy, but we need to make policy for all, not just for the rich of this country.
And it has to be right policies.
Absolutely.
All these years of subsidizing diesel.
Absolutely.
And look at what the impact of that has been. All right, that's it on this episode of The Big Fight. Let's hope that whatever happens in Paris is not this much of a big fight and they actually do emerge with something, because whatever we may say, at the end of the day, you do need some sort of an agreement, because the planet does need saving. Thanks a lot for joining us on The Big Fight. We'll be back next week.